Hey everybody, it's Chris Hales here with Julian Wells doing another update. Julian's heading back by road in his car from Portland back to Seattle after spending a weekend with a group he calls the Portland Gang. So, hey Julian, how are you?
Some soul family groups. Portland. I'm doing good, thank you.
Yeah. Are they your soul family?
I have soul family relations with them, yes.
Yes, so they're connected.
They're connected. That doesn't mean that the soul family that I'm connected to in Seattle necessarily have a complete soul family group with them or soul family attachment.
Yep. Yep, so it's a more distant attachment.
So it's kind of like, it's like a one-off relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But I would be considered the direct link between the two.
And you met these people at the photosynthesis festival?
Yes. Yes, the weekend before.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent enough time with them to recognize exactly where they are and where they're at, which is ideal because it's where I'm at and where I'm going. And they didn't have as much data as I did with regards to what's going on, but they picked up really, really quickly because they were literally going to try and find what the next piece of the puzzle was.
Okay, which particular rabbit hole was this that they were working on?
What am I supposed to do next?
Okay.
There's something I don't know and I don't know what I'm missing.
Mm-hmm. And you helped them to work that out, did you?
Well, certainly. I basically spoke who I was and what I was up to and what I was involved with, and it led to high levels of resonance for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so the questions kept coming and the discussions kept going further and the excitement continued to build and build and build till basically we're like, the weekend's over now. We'll have to reconvene at another time to continue this.
Sounds good.
Sure.
Sounds good. Are they in touch with any of the other upstairs groups?
Yes, they are, actually. One of them, you might call the one that is holding the space for it. He has an Andromedan that he speaks with.
Mm-hmm.
And he refers to her as his guide. And it is a non-physical Andromedan, but with lots of Andromedan relations. However, he does not talk about their society in terms of what to expect and whatnot, like I do with the Pleiadians.
Mm-hmm.
But he does. It's led to very, very vast transformation for him. And he's really grown as a person from this, a lot like I have. And we had a lot in common to talk about, actually. And he was quite relieved because he hadn't met anybody with as a succinct connection. Something like that before.
Yep. Do you want to repeat that last sentence? Do you want to repeat that last sentence, Julian? You just broke up a bit.
I didn't quite like that either. Despite all the people I seem to be connected with online, there's not many people like that.
Yep.
So, at the same time, it was synchronistic for me because I got to learn a lot from this group. So they filled in a lot of the pieces of the puzzle for myself as well.
Mm.
And that's, of course, exciting for me.
It would be exciting for you. So how many people were in the group?
Oh, I think I'm dropping a bit. What was that?
How many people are in the group?
Five.
Mm-hmm.
I was only able to meet with three of them, and there are three, let's say, core individuals for this group. I did get to meet all five last weekend.
Right.
But for the most part, I would say the core three. Now, they have very interesting lives. I'm not going to get too much into the details of that. It's not succinct and doesn't deliver any sort of points of interest for most people.
Mm-hmm.
But what I was looking at was how they had sustained themselves for 2 years up to this point. And they had very clear intentions for setting up some kind of arrangement for growth and some kind of way to be more sustainable and to function and begin to be able to serve humanity as well. They just weren't sure exactly what they should be doing or how to do it. And so I worked a bit with them to discover exactly what they were doing right and what was holding them up from expanding as well. Because the truth of the matter is that the families are really meant to actually continue growing. Now, that can be a state of some people coming and going, but for the most part, it ends up becoming more like a growth system, and it won't get more than about a dozen people in my figures before you naturally have to create greater lines of separation so that those with the closest in common will get more time together.
Yep.
Right?
So do they actually live together?
They do.
And how do they actually support themselves?
They all have different forms of income, and they all basically contribute to a house fund and to a food fund, and so there's somebody that handles the accounting there. Mm-hmm. And, although they may seem that, they might not have that much room for each person. Like, each person only has a room and they make do. Mm-hmm. They're actually quite welcoming to others visiting and making space so that people can visit. Mm-hmm. So it's like, there's never not enough space if it's needed, which is really nice. Because I think that's a part of what these groups would like to be able to do, is to have spaces for visitors or people, coming through, or, a space for someone to start learning as a, two-way thing.
Indeed. And how old are these folks?
This group is a third.
I think you're going to say third wave. Breaking up a touch. Internet connection problem. Okay. Starting up again after an internet connection failure. Julian, you were just telling us that these guys were third waivers, and that's about where we got cut off.
Yeah, and they had a first waiver friend that they saw every once in a while. Mm-hmm. I could go into the explanation of first, second, and third waivers, and then the crystal children, indigo children, but I think enough so that people listening to this have probably heard me talk about that before. I use the terminology that the Lord's Canon was using. So it's really sort of like they fit a demographic of their energy potential and where they come from in their state of awakening, mm-hmm. and to some degree what the level of their mission is. But what I was going to share that got cut off was you're going to find that first and third waivers don't get along in a way where they live together very easily. It's usually quite challenging for them to live together. In fact, all the waves have some difficulty because they don't operate exactly the same way. So first waivers, they actually are relatively uncomfortable living with anyone because they've established quite a bit of independence and are basically out in the field learning to cope and survive, and they find their own way, and they set themselves up exactly the way that allows them to thrive. Mm-hmm. Second waivers are usually the children of these. So they're your offered opportunity to know from birth and be fostered in at least a level of understanding about more holistic thought and experience in regards to sort of awakening energy. And third waivers, they're basically born and will live the new reality. They basically can do nothing but represent who they really are inside. And if they ever become repressed, that's when they become really, they get depressed very easily, you might say. They're repressed, they get depressed. And they have less functionality in the everyday world that we've come to know. And to some degree, the first waivers also have a difficulty being functional as well. Second waivers that have been in the middle place where they've had access to, say, the spiritual data and the experiences, yet they also recognize how to live in the world. So they're actually the most functional of the three. So they are basically a bridge of importance, and that's kind of why I am one of the second waivers.
Mm-hmm.
But the point being is that when you start creating these soul group organizations, you're going to find those challenges, the challenges between the differences that might not be recognized between the first and the third, and even between the first and the second, or the second and the third. But it's much more subtle just between a second and a first or a third. So you can say the best way, the most successful groups are the people who live the new reality. So you can have basically all third waivers living together. But they don't engage their outside reality very effectively in regards to people that are not willing to work with them on a level that they're already experiencing. So they're very inspirational, but at the same time, they have a certain degree of non-functioning with the everyday person, especially the everyday asleep person. They get frustrated really easily by not being able to be themselves.
So what age are the third waivers, roughly?
Around 20 years old, and late teens. Some indigos get lumped in with the third wave. The difference between indigos and third waves is that third waves actually come for the mission, actually have more purpose that drives them rather than just living the new reality.
Mm.
So, just
a question, Julian. At this point in time, how old are the first waivers?
First waivers are in their 40s and up. And 40s would be the youngest. The majority of them are in their 50s and 60s. And anyone that told them that were like really early people, and we definitely have those as well.
Interesting. So this group in Portland, had they actually had an agreed set of arrangements before they started all living in the same house?
No, actually it was just an evolution, but I said it's easier for third waivers to collect themselves because they know already how to live this way.
Okay.
They already know how to live together.
Yep.
They have an abundance of intuition and internal guidance. So you could say they're highly empathic. When you have a high state of empathy, it's very hard to violate one another, especially when you choose other people who have high empathy. You don't really get very far violating each other.
Yeah, I can see
violating
that.
Violating each other's faith. However, we live in a reality where not everyone's third wave. Everyone wants to be third wave. We're all migrating to that point of experience. But the second waivers and the first waivers still have lots of attachment, of course. And what I was going to share was how to start beginning processing these as a group. And what sort of parameters to set up that are at a minimum to make sure that it's sustainable, so that you don't destroy each other and have, each one's internal battle essentially usurp another person's free will.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's quite a few stages that a soul group collective will go through, actual stages. And these stages, I'm discovering. They're not part of the template, but I'm discovering them. And they're actually quite universal, so I can share with their life.
Sure.
But so the first stage, of course, is not really a stage. But the first thing that happens is that you start meeting more than one person who thinks like you do and has the same motivations that you do. And is that sort of like the same general spiritual understanding as you are, right? Doesn't mean that you have to all be, near ascended in thought. You just have to be close to the level of broader understanding. And typically, it does not take long to bridge the gap when you know how to follow your intuition and your inner guidance.
Mm-hmm.
With regards to knowing what information is suitable for you and what's correct. So someone else can come with a lot of data and share it in word format and data, and they can basically absorb it really quickly. There's not much that holds them back from basically going through the experience. It's not like somebody telling another, this is the way it is. It's like sharing based on invitation for the information to come forth.
Mm.
So in fact, the person is actually asking at many levels to get caught up with whatever they might find of worth having in their contemplative state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first stage of discovering people who have an aptitude that is like yours. And these can be found online, but these days we're actually finding them in our physical proximity. There's lots of ways that it'll happen naturally, like you'll meet people at conferences or events.
Mm-hmm.
And these will naturally bring people of like mind together. It's just that's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
But, there's many ways to find those without having to worry about having to travel. You can actually set them up in your local communities and, start advertising that you're looking to have people get together to talk about the sorts of things you want to talk about.
Sure.
So
what's the second stage then?
The second stage is actually recognition of what each other's boundaries are, right? Because we all come with a set of programming where we say, this is too far off for me, or this is just appropriate. And the kinds of examples you might say is, some groups might be interested in the idea of being extremely free in their body. So things like engaging in casual sex or walking nude in their homes might be one of those things. But it's not okay for other groups, right? Some people may be okay with some individuals living that way and being with them, but others will be uncomfortable actually expressing in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Another one might be a completely different understanding of how money is dealt with. Because as a community, money is integral to how people understand it in terms of its functionality and and the degree of flexibility in which it gets used as a group. And, some people are like, no, I'd like to have my own expenses. Some people are like, no, we want to do a collective pool. And some of my people might be like, we want to make sure no one has any credit card debt. And some will be like, we don't care,
Mm-hmm.
Another example of what kind of boundaries we come with are living condition boundaries. Now, it's not like at the beginning you're assuming that you're going to live with these people directly, but you're going to be in sufficient continual proximity that you may not like their eating habits, and some may eat meat, some may smoke, some may be really messy, and, you know, disregard cleanliness. So these sorts of boundaries are useful to pick up on early so that you can figure out just how involved you wish to be with this movement. Because a lot of these things have deep ingrained processes in our life, and they're not easy to start just overcoming. So you'll want to have at least a ground level with those sorts of basics.
Mm-hmm. Third stage?
The third stage is you begin to look at what is it that prevents the group from living closer together. And you start pondering what sort of options that the group has in terms of getting to spend more time together. I mean, maybe you only get to get together for like a meeting once a weekend or something like that, and that's what's appropriate. But some people will basically say, I don't want to do anything but talk and be with you people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those are the ones that will grow very rapidly. Those are the groups that will grow exponentially, and kind of the ones that I'm kind of talking about at this point, because those are the ones that I'm experiencing and seeing occur. Very, very rapid getting together. And so you look at the obstacles that are surrounding the necessities that you have for life, which are things like, you know, I don't want to quit my job, or I want a new job. How is this going to work? Can the soul group work together to create a sustainable employment situation that has multiple people contribute to? And things like this. You start looking at the sorts of things that make it difficult for the group to come together. And those would be, again, a certain kinds of boundaries that people are not willing to let go of yet, but are likely on the horizon of being let go early. So this has people like saying, you know, I feel like I got to have a job, but I really am willing to quit it if I see something better. Right? Or, you know, I have a crummy relationship and, you know, I'm willing to get divorced or break up or dump this person if I can be around a sustainable energy where people are caring for each other. And that's what comes with a lot of relationships, sort of like a grounding and caring for one another. So, those are just two examples, but there are others that are on the periphery of importance.
Mm-hmm.
And usually these are the kinds of things that people are willing to bend in a short span of time, I mean, maybe weeks or something like that. And the excitement factor usually gets people rolling on these waves. You'll find that first waivers will have the most attachments, actually. And so their parameters almost always end up being the parameters for everyone else to live under. So you're not going to find that many first waivers sticking together for very long at the beginning of these things. And almost always they're going to be the ones with the parameters that are going to establish the starting point, and everyone else who can adapt to work with them will probably be probably work it out. Also, typically the first waivers have a lot of stability, financial, or housing or whatever, and oftentimes they will be the host at the beginning, but that's not necessarily true. Typically it will be the person who has the most comfort with the system that will be the original host. Now
how often, almost, I mean, are we talking about groups which have multiple types of waves in them, you know, 1, 2, and 3?
Yes. When I'm speaking there, I'm talking right now to the multiple. It can be any configuration, 1, 2, or 3.
Mm-hmm.
I'm speaking at a broad level here.
Yep.
But so almost always, the person who is most comfortable in the system will be the person who will, I'm going to call, hold the space, or maybe considered the original host. As in, like, I have a home, you can come stay with me, sort of thing. And those who are a little bit, you know, are more willing to disengage from their surroundings, they'll find themselves attracted to these prospects. So what comes next is actually making sure that you're making sure that the space is appropriate for the group and for, you're going to say, the majority of the group, because the ones who don't represent the majority, those individuals will have to work on processing to see if they can live with this group. And so they will have the most profound processing to go through. Mm. Not ideal for, like, five people to have, you know, 90% of their lives in common, and someone with only 50% in common, try to get the rest of the group to accommodate the person with only 50% in common, that, you know, it goes that way.
Is there a fourth stage you're aware of at this point?
There's like 12 stages.
Oh, okay.
That I'm aware of, and it keeps going.
Uh-huh. Well, let's do up to number four.
Okay.
Then we'll leave that for this session. We'll work through some more in the future.
Well, so. The most important stage actually comes down to the process of transformation for the individual, which is to say, when they're willing to give up habits, right? Mm-hmm. Or patterns within themselves that just don't serve anymore.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, they have a hard time changing and growing spiritually. But when they see others that are living what may seem a sustainable understanding beyond their limitations that they believe are necessary, it gives them a lot of hope to go about giving up things that aren't serving anymore. And so the healing phase. And the healing is absolutely essential at the beginning of these. Mm. What that is basically being a support group for one another in each other's processing and healing. Because we're really returning to a natural state. So I call it healing. Because we've picked up all these patterns and habits that sort of divide us as a collective in society.
We certainly have done, and that's something that I've heard spoken before, that there needs to be at least one figure inside a soul group that's acting as a shaman and kind of helping people to clear.
Well, the shaman would be considered the guy that can get it done the fastest.
Sure.
Okay?
Yep.
But any kind of group that has a relatively high state of awareness of truth, they could basically play the common sense cards between each other.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The common sense of a balanced reality. And because soul groups, the foundation is actually on a state of love, they tend to be really, really, really good at healing each other on many different ways and levels.
Mm.
But yes, if you have at least one person who is a skilled shaman, a shaman is basically the best case scenario, you're going to do really well and be able to heal very rapidly. Unless it's like the shaman is like nobody likes him. You can't just say, hey, let's go hire a shaman and fix this all.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to work out. He actually has to be part of the soul family in order to be actually have the love bond to allow the healing to go quickly. Now, everybody can learn healing at different levels. You know, there's lots of different modalities for healing, and you know, lots of people nowadays are picking up one or another form, and you can share that, and you can, you know, share that with your group, and know that, you know, everybody has different ways that they can support each other through the whole healing process, and that doesn't really have any limits or rules. But some people that are like shamans, or people who deal with, you know, who are like social workers, will have some skills at the onset. That would be really, really ideal to allow the healing to go quickly, because the healing must go quickly.
Yep.
If it doesn't actually occur quickly, then, and it isn't like an actual objective, and it isn't seen as an important phase of the process, then it's just going to lead to all sorts of things being triggered, and the triggers will just start piling up and lead to a high level of complexity that will just not feel good and not sustainable. Even though you can have a lot of excitement, people who are constantly being triggered without an opportunity to flow and process it, is usually very painful for not just the individuals going through the triggering, but those around them who feel that something's amiss, something's not right. Because their gut will tell them that, like, oh, this can't be right now, it won't feel right, because they'll have a piece that's just not feeling cohesive. When the idea is really, we want cohesiveness, so address that.
Mm.
So we'll leave it at that point.
Interesting, yeah, because if there's 12 points on there, that's a couple of hours' work. So we'll press on.
It's more like 20, but I haven't even experienced the past around 12.
Okie dokie. Big message there. Yeah. Big message there. Okay. Now, one of the reasons, the key reason you missed the show on Saturday was that you were actually down visiting Bill Brockbrader.
Yes. So I did not foresee that I would be going there, but everything just made it happen. I was almost like forced into the experience. I'm not blaming anyone for that, because in the end, it was a really, really fruitful development. Eva got to bring her son to meet Bill, who they had not been together, since he was in prison. So it was a very long time. Basically like a year or 8 months or something like that since the last time that Bill had gotten to see his stepson. And it wasn't like my process, like I wasn't healing from it directly, but I got to observe something that basically makes me cry right now, because it was a piece that he really needed.
Mm.
If you have a son or a daughter that's under the age of 16, you're allowed to sit next to one another. Eva's not allowed to sit next to Bill. She has to sit across. And they're allowed to hug and kiss basically when they meet and when they leave. But, and they're allowed to hold hands. But basically Bill got to have a visceral cuddling experience with his stepson that they were, that they got to have, and that was incredible. And you could just see what that was doing, and it really reminded me the root energy that allows us all to survive.
Mm.
And it's just so easy to forget about it and assume that it's of secondary importance, but it's actually the primary importance. And it's not to be underestimated how long people will try to live without it. It's like, it just seems so many people don't recognize what makes a human body function and live. Mm. And that is basically these experiences chemically in the body that are triggered in states of love with the company that you're in. And it's something that a lot of first wave people have been without for a long time. That's their major crutch, is they don't just create so much distance because they've been in here for so long. They've created rules that they have to live by because they just can't continue trying to figure out if other people are going to love them for who they are. Because most times, most of their lives, most of the people they've been with do not love them for who they are.
Mm.
So, to see this process, it was not a lot of discussion with Bill in terms of current events and whatnot, even though he is following the Snowden case very, very closely. And it was good to see that Heli, I'm not sure if you know who Heli is, she is running a lot of the Bill Brockbrader Facebook group,
mm-hmm.
and she's been sending him transcripts from Andrew. I think it was her sending from Andrew, but she's been sending him data for him to read. Now, he does not get internet. He gets email, and his emails are limited to a certain number of characters, and they can't have special characters. So basically, it's like a word pad or just
crude,
plain
yep.
text document. Yeah, and it's something like 5 cents a minute or something like that for him to be on the computer, or it's like 5 cents to print out a page. So he basically prints out all these things, and he goes through it. So he does keep up the current events, which is really good that that is occurring. But at the same time, I'm noticing how more people are getting to be added to his visitation list. He was, you know, finding people in the local area that can get added to his list. And these people that are getting to see him, they just, you know, they might not have facts or work or anything like that, but they can directly support him in his mission. But the contact with real humans that have an interest in one another is really quite integral. And that's actually the supporting bond of the soul group.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, the fundamental bond. You will not have a soul group that is not into hugging. I'm just going to tell you right now.
Yeah.
If there's no hugging, it's not going to be a soul group. Mm. It's just going to be a collective or some form that does not have a high energy yield.
Yeah.
Anyhow,
how long is Bill actually in there? How long is Bill actually in there for?
He's in there until like September next year.
Mm, okay.
Officially.
Yep. Well.
But unofficially, I've been told that that's going to get shortened. Unofficially means in my own intuitive timeline view, not based on any facts that have been given to me.
Yep. Yep. Well, that's fair enough. Now, speaking of your timeline view.
Yes.
What are you seeing coming up in the next few days, the next week, energetically? Anything jumping out at you?
I went through a little bit of trauma this last weekend. I went through a lot of trauma. And I had to close down. I had to close my energy sites. And I had to close down my connections. I know it probably sounds like I shouldn't do this sort of thing. I should not close down my energy site or my collection with the Pleiadians and whatnot. But I was getting a lot of attacks, like insane, ridiculous amount of offensive energy coming at me. And I basically huddled and covered to handle the bombardment. I want to say that, you know, I love Portland, but the environment did not support the level of comfort that I was ready for.
Wow.
I'm not saying that the group in Portland didn't have an ideal living situation, but the energy, you know, of the local neighborhood, of, you know, the drugs in the environment, in that place, you know, drug trafficking, and it was just sort of like, oh boy, this house deserves a Merkaba of some form to help it, you know, shield itself, which is part of the healing process that a shaman would immediately set up. But that's another phase we'll talk about. It's fairly complicated. We want to make sure people do it right. So I was basically put in a very vulnerable position throughout the weekend, and Portland basically escalated my ability to survive, and basically the demands on me to survive. Part of it was having practically no internet. Well, I had no internet, and I had almost no cell coverage, as you know, and I also didn't, you know, my phone kept dying. And I just didn't have the amenities that I was sort of needed on hand. Every meal was a make it in the moment sort of meal.
How have you got any idea where the attacks were coming from?
Coming from people who heard about me, and it actually got directly put into someone who was sensitive, but they were actually controlled, and they confronted me very directly, you know, as a human. And everybody who knew this person said they had never seen this person do this before. They had never seen this person so triggered. But basically, I triggered this individual, and this person, you know, went on a strong attack saying, you know, things like, you know, you have no right to talk on anything. You haven't experienced, and you don't know anything. You're like wrong. You know, you're a bad influence. You know, get out of here, that sort of thing. Right?
Wow.
And so it was really, like, excellent. I need more of these sorts of things so that I can recognize exactly where I come from. It really focuses in on why would I continue to be doing what I'm doing if, you know, it's dangerous to some people.
Why was this person angry with you? What business was it of this person's to come at you like that?
Well, for instance, the person did not gel with my experience. It was in contrast to their own,
mm-hmm.
right? And this person was a disseminator of information, and so I was sort of usurping their mentor capabilities, right? Because mm-hmm. I was speaking words that was a point of anxiety for them. Yeah, and it was actually the first waiver that I was referring to that they have.
Interesting.
Right? This person had grown up in a particular way, with a particular understanding that they established for themselves to survive. I mean, they're not wrong, but they don't hold the pieces that I've accumulated over time. And so my intent was to learn how to work with this individual, and to let him know that he was loved and respected for what he was sharing and where he was coming from, and that he had all the rights to say whatever he wished to say that was on his mind. And, you know, at some point I tried to explain how we're both on the same page, but in fact he was essentially, because of his drug use, was compromised in his integrity.
Mm. Yes, always very difficult if they are using chemicals.
Correct. And that's actually one of the biggest issues with using substances is you have a high capability of being compromised. It's one of the features of my physical attributes. I think I might have mentioned before that I can't get high off substances. I don't want to say I can't. It takes a real large amount for me to get high off substances.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very highly tolerant pharmaceuticals, pain medications, even like stuff that you get in surgery, and alcohol. I have a very, very high tolerance.
Yep.
And so, you know, I don't get addicted to cigarettes. You know, I don't feel caffeine. Caffeine has no effect on me whatsoever. All these sorts of things. I can, and then at the same time, I can also eat almost anything. I have like an iron stomach. I virtually never throw up. My diet is perfect. No matter what I eat, it seems I can't gain or lose weight. I'm gonna cut you off for a moment. I need to do a real quick pit stop, but I'll catch you back in a couple minutes. Okay.
Okie dokie.
All right.
Cheers. Okay, we're back on the road again.
Okay.
Very good. So you were just being cut off again by the sound of it. You were just explaining that you were fairly immune to drugs, etc., which I think we've talked about before.
How I triggered someone.
You triggered someone,
yes.
But this person was you know, a user of some kind.
Right, and a lot of third waivers are, and so I have no judgment on that. It's actually more to survive the system rather than to seek an experience,
because
mm-hmm. they live an experience that many would wish to have, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they find an opportunity to be in a good state, you'll find that they naturally migrate away from substances. It's very easy for them to dismiss the need for them.
Yep.
But if you see yourself starting a soul group collective that has substances, well, you're most likely going to have to address that as early as possible in terms of, is that okay or not? And if it is, why? Not in terms of like challenging, you know what's good or bad about it, but sort of like, is this part of our sustainable group? Is this what we want to see down the road?
Yeah, fair enough.
Well,
sounds like they've got their challenges then, this group.
Yes, like all of them. Mm-hmm. It's individual challenges.
Yep.
But in my case, it was the first opportunity I had to sort of like face my attackers. If that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And know what it is that I get to face.
So did you make any headway with this person, or was it just a matter of, you know, the impenetrable object?
No, he had quite a bit of energy usurpation, and I did not get a time to speak with him while he was sober. So all I did was basically leave him and the environment that I was in with nuggets of truth.
Mm-hmm.
Which dissolve all figments of non-cohesive reality, and he'll find that in his due time.
Yeah.
But we did leave as amicably as possible, and I to this day wish him the best in his exploration of consciousness, and he's doing just fine as far as I can tell.
Yeah. Well. I'm sure there's going to be plenty more of interesting interactions that you'll have with groups as time goes by, both positive and negative. It's just the way it is.
Sure.
Indeed.
It seems to me, actually, that I'm on a path that was going to lead to a subject that I wanted to get into. But mm-hmm. You were going to say?
No, if you want to give this a subject you need to get into, just morph straight into it, Julian.
Okay, well, right now... I've had a lot of contemplation on the subject of integrity and what integrity is, why we need to have it, why we don't need to have it, when does it serve, who does it serve, and why is it such a big subject right now?
Mm-hmm.
Integrity, per the energy definition that I've discovered in its meaning, is basically a form of ground relative to points outside yourself. Mm-hmm. You can believe you have integrity, but if someone else doesn't believe you have integrity, well then officially you don't have integrity, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically being grounded in a place so that people can, one, rely on you and have expectations of you fulfilled in the case of of, like, you know, meeting and representing an example that people are interested in. If you don't have integrity, it's as if, well, I don't know who you are. I don't know what to expect from you. And, you know, we really have no business together if I don't have like a north and a south pole with you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, integrity is at different levels. And usually integrity is something that you are sharing, that you are personally attached to, in the way that, you know, you're not willing to give up anything regarding your integrity. No one wants to give up their integrity because they know it's a standing on which you get to work with other people, and it's a standing and sort of like a template for what to expect, even if you haven't interacted with someone. Because if someone else says you have integrity to a third party, you know, the information is meant to be kept, this, you know, cohesive across lines of separation.
So why is that? Why is that coming up now? Is that part of the energetics of the now, or what's happening? Internet connection problem. Let's see if he comes back out of it. You back there, Julian?
Don't cut me off.
Which word was it you think you mentioned?
It's quite a letter word. It starts with C. Anyways, It's the entities that don't want me sharing.
Okay.
So, they know what I'm doing, and they know exactly when I'd be in a vulnerable state. So the intent is to actually attack me at a conscious level. But the energy supports them to do that. And you're wondering, why the hell would they be supported? Well, the contrast is a form of growth. And because I accepted all forms of rapid development, and I accept it in such a way that I want to go through as much of it and quickly as possible, so that I can be a representative of going through it for others.
Mm-hmm.
I basically invited quite a bit. I'm surprised at how much I accepted at a different level. But, you know, it's never more than I can actually handle. So don't start worrying about me if that's what people are starting to feel when
sure.
they hear this.
Sure.
And so, integrity is your grounding. Integrity is where you stand with regards to how other people are working with you. And if that can be removed, then, you know, it's like a stack of cards. It can go down easily.
Mm-hmm.
Because people who are free-willing don't have necessarily integrity, but there's no way to, like, attack them. Because there's nothing that they're fully attached to. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing that they're willing to solidify and say, I represent this. The moment that you say, present something, and you lock it down and you say, this is my integrity, well, then the wall that needs to be destroyed is what's going to happen as soon as possible.
Mm.
So it's like something to attack, finally. And, I've been attacked on other things, like my relationship and whatever. Not by listeners, but just the energy has gotten me to face down these, say, less cohesive aspects of my life. And that is actually, I'm being told, is what a lot of people are facing right now, is different variations, varying forms of integrity in terms of conundrums where you can only sort of like serve to be have integrity in only one space.
Yeah.
Kind of like when you have more than one integrity, what will happen is it'll force them to cross each other. But only one of them can be an integrity. And then the perception is that the energy is dropped because it falls down like a house of cards if one of them doesn't, you know, if one of them can't be standing. Right?
Fair enough. So have you restored your energetics? Have you actually fired yourself back up again?
No. I'm working on it.
Okay.
I'll get back to Seattle and I'll share with the group and it'll go a lot more quickly. I mean, I'm already feeling better just by identifying it
mm-hmm.
and whatnot. But, you know, a single point of integrity that I've that's been ongoing for a while is my ability to show up on my own show, right?
Yep.
And, like, what does that mean when I can't make it and not have the opportunity to explain, you know, why I can't make it, and then also not getting to the point where I'm willing to apologize for what I'm doing because it's like two points of integrity. I feel like I was doing something really important, and at the same time, should I, you know, apologize for doing something I feel was the righter path, so to
mm-hmm.
speak? Like, choose between my two points of integrity. And so I did not give myself the chance to apologize to those who do not understand. I do want to apologize to Bob, fundamentally, of many levels. He is a wonderful, wonderful man, and he has been my anchor for my show, and I've basically disrespected him in exchange for supporting integrity that I had that was closer to my soul family here in terms of supporting the individuals that needed me here in their own crises where healing needed to occur or in circumstances like Bill Brockmater, you know, I didn't even know that we would be stuck in there literally, you know, half hour into the time when my show was supposed to start. And I could have not gone. I could have just decided to drive off to Portland, but I was basically bringing Eva's son, who always wanted to go to Portland and was with me at Photosynthesis and had met these Portlanders. He really wanted to go, and I'd already delayed. I planned on going the night before, and so I just felt the itch to go, and I basically knew that I can do my show on the road, but in the end, the timing basically set itself up so that I could only have one or the other. Mm. And I was like, wow, this really sucks, because I only figured out that I couldn't leave the prison until the entire session was over. You can't, like, leave early unless you have, like, an emergency. You know, like, you know, gotta go to the hospital or something. Mm. So it's like a 3-hour session, and you gotta wait for them to open and close the doors, and they gotta do all the checking. But I didn't even have my phone once I found this out, and basically I was in the lineup to go in, and I was like, wow, this sucks, you know?
Yeah. Well, look, you know, when these situations arrive, all you can do is, you know, deal with the fallout. It's
right.
It is what it is. It's done, and you'll just have to work your way through issues created.
Yes, and I do want to have a chat with Bob. I want to say as soon as possible, but it seems my time is not of my choosing these days. Mm. Even though, you know, I tend to go with the flow. Like right now, I would feel like it'd be a good time to call him, but I still want to finish this update. So I'm choosing the update over talking with him.
Mm.
You see, and so it's like, which point of integrity is greater? And it's ultimately just choose one. Don't, you know, force yourself into Pandora's box of kind of false timeline values of choices and all this sort of thing. But that's exactly what the energy is doing. It's slapping us around a bit, and certainly because that would support points of weakness that can be identified by unsupportive negative energy perspective, they'll try to get their wedge in there to take you down, especially when you're public. So I understand that. The other person that I disrespected was Lisa, because really, she's the one who gave me the show space to do it, and also she's the one who's been speaking with Bob directly, and you know, it's her thing that she's grounding. She's holding these shows in integrity, and she can't do that when she can't understand, you know, what is really going on, and not be able to sort of serve who she serves greater. She doesn't serve me greater. She serves, you know, the people that are following the shows and are gaining a lot of profound information. So, you know, I did put a post up on my Facebook, you know, apologizing, but here's my, you know, additional apology to those who probably haven't heard about it yet. I'm not sure if the show is going to be easy to go forward at this point, the transitioning show with me, because I really can't see what I'm going to be stuck with every weekend, it seems. The life of doing updates is more realistic.
It may be more realistic. It may be that you need to move the show to another day. All you can do is work through that issue, you know, make your apologies, work through that issue with them, and see where it takes you.
Yes.
You know, there's nothing more that you can do at this point, so...
Sure, but this is a good example of this happening on multiple levels, right? Multiple different experiences like this. My integrity has been attacked or identified as being a challenge for others to cope with on multiple fronts, and it's really meant to sort of take me down a notch in my energy so that I don't keep being who I'm being publicly. They're okay with not being who I am, but not publicly.
Mm-hmm.
So, but this second thought hopefully is going to be fleshing out in my experience by the end of today. A couple people, depending on, I don't know exactly what it's depending on, but some people will still have this energy going through till Wednesday.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. So, timeline, this, like I said, I was sort of knocked off my horse a little bit, and I had to close down my sensory perception. So what I did not have was a lot of, I have not been in the field feeling what has been coming up, because I've been sort of, I don't say suppressing myself, but yeah, I was kind of like reducing my effectiveness. And even when I came on the Walking and Energy show yesterday, it took me a little bit to come out and actually practice the energy again.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was not, you know, I didn't get a full warning that I could be on the show, and I definitely wanted to be in there. I'm not saying I didn't enjoy the experience, but it was meant to happen. But at the same time, the attacks were heavy, heavy, heavy as soon as I got off.
Mm, wow.
And, they really thought they had me, actually. They still think they have me in the net, but I don't know. I guess I feel pretty good about myself still.
Yeah, are you, these were energetic attacks that you were suffering, I take it.
Energetic attacks, but also turn into physical attacks.
Mm. Interesting.
Like, for instance, right now in Seattle, the soul group that we have, probably shouldn't be mentioning this, but I'll say just enough. We're looking for a house right now that we can all live together in, like mm-hmm. a sustainable space.
Yep.
And it's very difficult. Not just because we all have different preferences. That alone is interesting. But it's like, We need to be in a place as soon as possible, because to not have like a grounding in understanding our future is a major destabilizing factor as well, right? Because you want to have some grounding control over your future. Mm. And a home is really important, an actual safe space, right?
It is.
So
it is. So
that's very important.
Yep.
And that's just part of the... of the game right now.
Mm.
So, anyhow,
well, that's something to deal with when you get back.
Yep.
I need to press on with the update items, mainly because I need to get some sleep.
Okay.
Got an early morning coming up. We'll just mention again that you and Andrew are planning a session with multiple groups.
Yes. It's going to be majority Pleiadians, but I'm hoping to build my connection with the three other groups that are interested in participating, and that would be the Andromedans, the Sirians, and the Arcturians. We might get into Lemurians, but that's kind of new for me to have retrieved my connection to them,
mm-hmm.
Which occurred on the show last week, as you probably remember. And then as well, they want to ask him questions directly. So I will act as the conduit, and everyone will get to experience that. And then we'll get to points where we have the audience doing a question and answer session.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be about 3 hours long, and we're going to try to make it affordable for everybody.
Okay. Now, the sorts of people that are attending on the other end, are these just interested parties, or is there some official?
No, they're already setting up small councils.
Mm-hmm.
Proper representatives. Yeah.
Okay. Should
the questions are already stacked up, actually.
I'll bet they are.
Yeah.
Interesting. That'll be an extremely interesting session. Extremely interesting session.
Oh, shucks. I've done it once with twice now with Andrew and the Pleiadians, and I'm like, this really should have been recorded. But it basically showed that there's a lot of meaty, juicy, experiential back and forth concepts meant to be played on here, and so it's cleared up.
Yeah. That
so
would
maybe
be...
one of several. But no, I would happily, and so would Andrew, happily do it at no cost at all, because we do want this information to be able to be brought to people who are in tune with it, But at this time, this group does need some financial support, and this is a small way that we can start boosting the needs, such as, you know, down payment on where we're staying and things like that.
Yeah. Look, as long as the session runs smoothly technically, I don't think people mind paying a reasonable fee for it. I mean, I've actually purchased tickets in live stream sessions which failed completely because the technical side just fell over, and you know, you couldn't actually connect, which was disappointing. But provided, you know, that everything works technically, I think people will be quite happy because it is a groundbreaking session for sure.
Well, it's been tested with Teal Scott, so it has. She's got thousands and thousands of doing these things.
Mm-hmm.
So literally the same tool.
Excellent.
So we have a high confidence that we can get through it.
Excellent stuff. Okay, just one last thing to mention is that the Oneness Place meeting this week, we're going to work on setting up a contract.
Yes.
Communication.
That's actually all we're going to do this week,
mm-hmm.
because we're going to save some material for the show on Saturday.
Okay.
But yes.
So do you have any sense of... Do you have any sense on when that that session on Saturday will be? Julian, yep?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, 8 o'clock my time on Wednesday.
8 o'clock your time Wednesday. That's for the Oneness Place. Any idea of the time for the Saturday thing?
I do not know.
Okay.
I have to go with what the consensus goes with. Again, this may be another challenge to the scheduling of my regular program.
Excellent.
But, you know, we'll see.
We shall see. Okay, look, you drive carefully, Julian, and I'll piece together this update and put it up on the net. And
very cool.
Hopefully that can take place quite quickly. All right, so you have a good trip, and we'll
be
talking to you in a day or so.
Yeah.
Cheers,
thank you, Chris.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.